On the television show Mythbusters, the hosts explore different types of myths and urban legends to see if there's any shred of truth to them or not. In trucking, there are also some myths. For instance, some believe electronic logging devices automatically report violations to law enforcement. Others believe if you're hauling chickens and they flap their wings when you go over a scale, they won't be weighed, at least not completely. Surely such things can't be true. Or are they? Welcome to another edition of Eyes on the Road, presented by PrePass, the provider of waystation bypass and toll payment services. PrePass also provides informed visualization software for improving safety scores and lowering toll-related costs. I'm Evan Lockridge, and thanks for listening. Since I started covering the trucking industry back in 1991, I've heard some pretty tall tales. I remember one truck driver from back then who swore to me Uncle Sam was going to ban owner-operators. Well, it's 2019, and of course owner-operators still make up an important part of the industry. I remember one fleet person telling me he heard stories of drivers picking up hitchhikers. They would sit in total silence, only to vanish from a moving truck. While such stories are the stuff of urban legends and truck stop diner gossip, there are other more plausible beliefs about trucking that simply aren't true. Well, we're going to look at some of those, and they just might surprise you. Joining me to discuss this is a man with a long history in trucking going back more than 40 years. Among Warren Heyman's experience is he is a former deputy administrator with the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, now a consultant to PrePass. Warren, it's good to have you here on the podcast.
Evan, good to be with you, and I'm looking forward to our discussion.
All right, the first item is one I brought up at the top of the podcast about electronic logging devices, that they can not only report hours of service violations by drivers automatically to law enforcement, but ELDs can also be used to shut down a truck if a driver's past their limit on the amount of time they can spend behind the wheel, as well as track a driver's movements. True or false, Warren?
Evan, that is false. Anytime you have a change in life, a new technology, a new place, you start getting suspicious of what's going on. That's human nature. And here you have Big Brother, the government, saying use ELDs. Well, ELDs are just a replacement for the paper logs drivers have always used, and that is all that law enforcement can look at unless they get a subpoena. And that subpoena would mean going back to the carrier to look at further records. One of the things that, you know, a driver might think about here is it used to be you were required to carry all those receipts you picked up while you're on duty, the meal, the time you fueled, et cetera, and show those to the law enforcement to back up your logs. You don't even have to carry that paperwork anymore. All the ELD is doing is tracking the time you've been actively driving. And as far as privacy, think about this for one second. If you go off duty and you change your ELD status to off duty, the GPS setting on that ELD now expands from up to 10 miles to protect where you are, so no one can tell exactly when you're off duty on your private time. The only people who are allowed to look at the GPS data on an ELD are the authorized folks back at the carrier, and law enforcement can only get to it to see where you were at each stop if they have a subpoena.
Now, here's one item I've heard ever since I started covering trucking, that if a truck driver is pulled over at the roadside and they disagree with law enforcement over a violation that's found, the driver can demand a federal marshal show up on the scene to mediate or even make a final ruling on whether the driver is cited or not.
Well, you know, I had to go and look up the duty of a federal marshal. In my line of work, I've had occasion to actually meet and work with some FBI agents, but for some reason, I've never worked with a federal marshal. So here is verbatim what a federal marshal is authorized to do. A federal marshal is responsible for apprehending wanted fugitives, providing protection to federal judiciary, transporting federal prisoners, protecting endangered federal witnesses, and managing assets seized from criminal enterprises. There's not a mention in there about trucking, and they don't have training in that at all. So no, that is another myth.
Warren, marijuana has been in the news a lot, more than I've seen in quite a long time, because about 10 states now allow it for recreational use and around 30 for medical use. However, when it comes to trucking, there are some that now believe this means truckers in at least these states can legally smoke weed. Really?
No, it's not true. The federal rules on drug testing have not changed in regard to marijuana. Marijuana will still put you out of service if it's detected in your drug test, regardless of whether it's legal in the state for recreational use or not. And a caution to drivers will be that you'll see ads. I'm up here in Montana, and going down the street, I see ads for cannabis oil that does all sorts of wonderful things for your body. Well, it too will show up on your drug screening. So stay away from that as well. It's very interesting if you look into it in detail. The two states that are most prominent in recreational use of marijuana, those being California and Colorado, also have the strictest enforcement practices for driving while under the influence, regardless of whether it's truck drivers or passenger car drivers. So clearly it's an issue of safety. Stay away from it.
Now, another item that's been in the news a lot the past couple of years is automation in trucking. In other words, some people believe trucks are soon going to become self-driving, completely autonomous, and the job of driving a truck is going to be needed about as much as elevator operators and people delivering telegrams. Warren?
Well, we've got a long way to go on automation. We recently had a speech to the folks at PrePass from a famous economist, and he made the statement about automation that there are three stages. One is that you have to test it in the laboratory and make it work. Second, you have to be able to commercially produce it. And third, it has to be socially acceptable. Well, we are at the stage where we're now seeing some elements of automation being commercially produced. But whether it'll be socially acceptable for trucks to be fully automated without a driver is another matter. We don't know that yet. Our best prognostication in the trucking industry is that it will be at the very most, like an airline pilot. Truck drivers will be responsible for takeoff and landing. Takeoff from an urban setting from the shipper, landing another urban setting generally at the receiver. That's at the most. Local driving will probably never be fully automated because of all the variables that you have in traffic in urban settings. At most, it will probably be on the road, open highway, but we aren't even there yet.
As we all know, there's a lot more to the trucking industry than just the truckload and less than truckload sectors. One of these areas is agricultural and farm trucks. Some people believe that these trucks are completely unregulated. Is that really the case, Warren?
No, it's not the case. You know, what it reminds me of is we go out to the store and we see somebody in shiny new shoes who buys a $4.50 cup of coffee. And we say, God, that's not how I'm going to spend my money. They really must have a lot. They can waste it that way. We don't know what that person does with the rest of their life. He's got shiny new shoes because his dad's a shoe salesman, and is the one luxury he enjoys is a good cup of coffee, but everything else, he's dirt poor. We don't know that. The same thing is true when we look at another element of trucking. We don't see everything that goes on. So on the one hand, yes, agricultural vehicles, farm vehicles have some exemptions, in particular hours of service. Within 150 air mile radius, they are exempt from hours of service from where they pick up their agricultural load. And the reason for this is, unlike other elements of trucking, in agriculture, the shipper is Mother Nature. Mother Nature says the crop is ripe, now move it. Mother Nature says we need fertilizer, get it there now or that crop is going to die. And so they've got some flexibility. Livestock haulers got flexibility, for example, on the 30-minute rest break, because they stop 30 minutes as required with other truck drivers out on a hot road in the summer, their cattle, their sheep, their pigs may die. And that's been proved medically by veterinarians. So there's a reason for those exemptions. And they also have some burdens that other truckers don't have. That's called the Food Safety Modernization Act, that they have to account for every step of the way to prevent the spread of food-borne diseases. They similarly have shipping facilities that may be in the middle of a field in the mud. So whenever we look at someone else, we have to say, have I really walked in their shoes? No, they're not completely unregulated. They do have some exemptions. They also have some burdens other people don't. Now, Evan, you know, we've been talking back and forth here, but I've got a question to throw at you because you spent several years covering tires for one trucking magazine. Some people in trucking believe that you can determine if the air pressure in tires is correct by simply hitting them with a billy club, what some call a tire billy. Is knocking on the door of a tire going to tell you the air pressure?
No, it's not. A lot of people think you can thump them rather than pump them, so to speak, and that just is not the case. It was true back when trucks used to run tires frequently that had tubes inside of them. You could give them a thump, and you could kind of tell by the sound as to whether it needed air, but it still wasn't a great system. But with now most everybody using radial tires, that you can't do that at all. A matter of fact, I know of one trucking organization. They used to have a display at their booths at different trade shows for a number of years, and they would have a properly inflated truck tire and one that was not properly inflated, that was about 20 pounds less than what it should be. And they invited people to thump them to guess which one it was, and most time they could not tell a difference. So you got to put a pressure gauge on it. I know it's a pain in the butt with the dual tires, but you got to do it because that's the only way you're going to get a real sense as to whether your tire is properly inflated or not. Now back to you, Warren, with a question. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you a couple things about PrePass. In fact, last year on the PrePass blog, we had a story about things PrePass does not do. So, true or false, PrePass Waystation Bypass Service tracks driving habits and shares that data with Uncle Sam.
Oh, that is false. I had the good fortune of being at the very, very first meeting where the trucking industry and law enforcement got together 25 years ago and came up with this agreement that safe and compliant trucks should be able to bypass weigh stations and inspection sites, because that was in the interest of truckers and it was in the interest of law enforcement, who could then focus on folks that needed focusing on. Part of that agreement from the very start, which that agreement created PrePass, part of that agreement from the very start is that the data would not be shared. Anytime a truck uses PrePass and goes by a weigh station, the only thing that is shared at that point is the identification of the truck, its credentials, its safety record of the carrier, and of course the weigh in motion if it crosses the scale. But no personally identifiable information on the driver is shared. No information is shared as to where the truck last was. And all that information is wiped clean by PrePass within 90 days. Unless, of course, there is a government subpoena. But that is the only time the data is shared that could identify where a truck has been, could identify who the driver is. PrePass is there, again, by agreement 25 years ago to say, this truck is safe, this truck is compliant, keep it going, nothing else.
Okay, time for a lightning round. I'm going to throw several things at you for a brief answer as to whether they are true or not. First one, some truckers believe they are not responsible for load securement since they did not load the trailer.
That's false. They are responsible because they and the carrier, if they're working directly for a carrier, are both responsible for safe operation on the highway, and load securement is part of safe operation. They do not have to do the load securement themselves, but they are responsible for it when they're out on the road.
The only way a law enforcement officer can search a truck is if they have a search warrant.
That's also false. I mean, we see that on television all the time in the crime dramas with passenger cars. A law enforcement officer, you know, stops and says, I want to see your paperwork of the trucker, but he observes an open container. He smells marijuana. He sees contraband. There are reasons that would cause him and give him legal right to search.
What about the belief that federal law only allows truck inspectors 30 minutes to conduct their inspections?
No, there is no federal time limit on how long a truck inspection should take. And a level one inspection means the truck itself, the equipment is thoroughly inspected, and the driver is inspected, will, on the average, take about 45 minutes. But drivers should know that the law enforcement officers are trained in two aspects of inspection. Be thorough, but be quick, because it's in the interest of the driver to keep going, and it's in the interest of the law enforcement officer to get to the next truck in line.
And last but not least, my personal favorite, one I've never been able to get a straight answer for. Chicken haulers will bang on the side of their rig just before they go over the scale so the birds are flapping around in the air and they don't get weighed, which I guess is mainly done if the rig is overweight.
That is not true. I wish we could train chickens that well, you know, that they would all get in the air at the same time. No, it's not true. You're going to be weighed by what's inside that trailer, regardless of whether it's in the air or on the floor.
Well, if that's the case, I'm not even going to ask about hauling helium balloons. That is Warren Heyman, former FMCSA Deputy Administrator, now a pre-pass consultant and official trucking mythbuster. Warren, always good to have you on the podcast.
Evan, been great to be with you, and hope we busted some myths together.
So what are some other myths, misconceptions, or urban legends you've heard about trucking and would like to get some answers on? Well, write us here at Eyes on the Road, and we may put these together for a future podcast. The email address is podcast@prepass.com. That's podcast@prepass.com. In fact, feel free to write with any comments, questions, or podcast topic suggestions. And while you're online emailing us, remember to log on to the Prepass website and check out our blog for the latest articles at prepass.com. Plus, you can hear previous editions of this podcast or subscribe to it either on the Prepass website or through Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Android, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, and more. You can also keep up with Prepass online through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This has been Eyes on the Road, presented by Prepass, the provider of waystation bypass and toll payment services. Prepass also provides informed visualization software for improving safety scores and lowering toll-related costs. I'm Evan Lockridge. Thanks for listening. And remember to keep your eyes on the road.